Scripture reading today can be found on page 9, and it will also be projected above. I'll be reading from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord.
Good to be with you. It's nothing like being given the Mona Lisa of Psalms to preach while Brian's out of town. I appreciate that. Psalm 23 is a journey psalm. If you got a Spotify playlist of life for a believer, this is it. And there's one theme that gets repeated that's the heart of Psalm 23. It's this. It is the witness of God that is the heart of our life. It's witness. Psalm 23 can only be seen clearly well through the New Testament reality of what Jesus says about himself, that he's the good shepherd. But the heart of this psalm, in all its beauty and all its goodness, is that there is one main idea I want to hit with you, and that is God is with his people, and that is their life. That's enough. When I was 7, my brother had gone away for the summer. I decided I was going to walk and go see him. No real way I could do that. He was 100 miles away. But my sweet mom and stepfather let me pack a backpack and a canteen with some water, some root beer candies, stuck those in there, an apple, a flashlight. Tied a sleeping bag underneath, didn't take a pillow or a raincoat, didn't think that far. I had enough, off I went. Down my driveway, out the lane, right on Hillendale Road, up the hill to Byard, took a right, went a mile and a half down to Byard, Old Kennett Pike, and turned left. And at 7, I'm feeling like I got it. Once I turned on Old Kennett Pike, though, I popped in a root beer float, and began to wonder. This trip was going to go so well. So I ate the apple and started to look around, popped another root beer candy, stopped and booked a drink. And as I put my canteen kind of back in my thing, I turned around and what did I see? My mom and stepfather trying to be sneaky, following about 100 yards behind. Now I act like it didn't matter, but they were with me and that made all the difference. And I kept walking. I got to the end of Old Kennett Pike, and now I'm about 4.5 miles in. And then I got to Route 52, and that's a 4-lane road. And I walked on the shoulder, and they let me go. But they got closer. Psalm 23 is a journey psalm of the life of a believer, and the heart of it is this. God is with his people, and that is sufficient. I want you to see it in a number of ways. I want you to see it, 1, in his sufficiency, 2, in death, 3, in his essence, and 4, that it leads us to home. I know that's a lot in 20 minutes, but we're going to do it. I promise. First in this, David says that the Lord is my shepherd, and there's a sufficiency to his presence because he says this amazing thing, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And then he goes on to describe in verse 2 and 3 how as the shepherd of our souls, how Jesus is our good shepherd, he leads us into these green pastures. And for the language of sheep, that's like good food and good green grass and still waters. Still waters are where sheep can actually go in and drink to their fill. The Lord provides for us in a good way so that we do not lack. There's a sufficiency. But it's interesting what David says is this, that the sufficiency that the shepherd provides is a spiritual sufficiency. Because David looks and says, what he does is he restores our soul and he leads us not into the American dream, but he leads us into paths of righteousness. That the sufficiency and the abundance that Jesus promises, that he gives himself and that his presence is enough. If you listen to Jesus in the New Testament, he goes on to say this crazy language. He feeds the 5,000 physical bread. And the people come to him and say, hey, dude, keep giving us this physical bread. And then Jesus uses this language and he says, I'm the bread of life. And whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So when Jesus says that he's our good shepherd, he is with us, and his very presence, our coming to him in faith, our being with him, his presence with us spiritually is all that we need. It's restorative to our soul. And when David said that he leads us in paths of righteousness, it's that he leads us in right paths and good paths. It's an amazing phrase for him to say that I shall not want. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that if you have him, beloved, those who cling to him by faith, we have all that we need. There's nothing that you do not have that you do not need. Now, listen, I am both here a preacher today and a sheep, proclaiming the goodness of the truth of what Jesus says to us. If the shepherd is with us, we have no want. And I come to you and look and say, oh Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That if we have plenty or if we have want, his presence is enough. That if we are rich or we are poor, his presence is enough. That if we have sickness or if we have health, his shepherding presence is enough. I could go on. Experientially, we may not feel it, but it doesn't make it untrue. Tim Keller came to RUF staff training a number of years ago, and I may have said this before, and someone asked him, Tim, he was in his 50s at that point. He said, hey, Tim, what is it that makes Jesus enough for you? And he said, you know what? Jesus started to become enough for I when Kathy and I began to get desperate. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, our plans have quit working. Our control has begun to lessen. The things that we hoped in most of our life seemed to be like sand in our fingers, and we began to get desperate. And when we began to get desperate, we began to say this, Jesus, would your presence be enough? Look, the first thing that David says to us is that the shepherd is with us, and if he's with us, we shall not want. He provides all we need. I believe. I want you to believe. Jesus, help our unbelief. Lead us into this hope that if you are our food, if you are our drink, if we are feeding upon you by faith, then we lack no good thing. In both good, and secondly, I want you to see that Jesus says through David that the shepherd is with us even unto death, that his presence goes with us even to death. Because in verse 4, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? How is it that even in death, he is sufficient? Because he looks and he says this, because you are with me. It's his presence. Even into the valley of the shadow of death. The way that is written, it's almost as if David says, Lord, when I go into death's shade, into the valley of deep darkness, even there you're with me. The truth is that it is not just in the times of goodness and health, it is actually in the times when death comes calling. That David says, I'll fear no evil. And he uses the language of shepherding again to say that his rod and his staff, right? And a staff is the tool that a shepherd would use to lead the sheep back into the places of safety. And the rod is actually a cudgel that he would use to beat off enemies. And our Lord Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, has gone before us through the valley of the shadow of death, out of the other side by his good resurrection, that though we walk into his very presence, beloved, if you are his sheep, we will fear no evil. Why? Because he is with us. This only makes sense if the resurrection is true, right? You do understand that correctly. That if you're here this afternoon and you're claiming the name of Jesus, this reality of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, being a place where we will fear no evil, is only true because Jesus has gone into death and through death and risen for us, that he might be with his sheep through the valley. And I know I'm going to sound like Calvin has been so good to me studying for this. John Calvin said it's helpful, not that there is no fear ever, but that in death, we are called by this psalm to remember this good thing. It's not that we don't have fears. It's that when fear rises up upon us in the valley of the shadow of death, which it will, this psalm calls us to remembrance. That we have a shepherd who is with us. This is another place where I look at you and say in this moment, I'm both a shepherd and a sheep. If I'm honest with you, I'm a coward. If I'm honest with you, I'm really scared to die. As a four-year-old, when my father passed away, it changed my world pretty radically. I did not understand it. I've been afraid of that day my whole life. And beloved, the good word of Jesus is that he comes to his people and he says, you have no reason to fear. I'll be with you in the middle. Jesus is not shaming us if fear comes upon us. It is the good shepherd speaking the kind word to say, even as that hour comes to you, I will be with you. I will walk you through. I will bring you to life. I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. In plenty and in want, his presence is sufficient in what he provides and what he withholds. His presence is sufficient to keep us even in the hour of your mortality. Thirdly, I want you to see that the essence of his presence is steadfast love and mercy. When you get down to verse 5, he changes the imagery from a shepherd to a host. And I want you to see in this section that what the psalmist is saying, what David is saying, is that the essence of the presence of God is there's an attitude to it. There's an orientation to God's presence. And the orientations of God's witness with you is this. It is a presence of steadfast love and mercy. The language that he uses is he says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That's the language of a victor who has conquered enemies and then puts a meal out in front of them. The enemies are watching. The enemies of God's people, sin and the flesh and the world and Satan, are bound up. And in that presence, the Lord sets this table and he says, this is the thing that I have for you by my presence. It's this image of abundance and oil overflowing, which is what was done in those days when you greeted people. and a cup overflowing, and then it's this beautiful language. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The real translation of that is this: the steadfast love of God and his mercy is his presence with you. Why does that matter? God doesn't promise that the thing that will be with you is material comfort. He doesn't promise that what you will always have is your kids making the right baseball team or you getting the spot right in front of right Tom Thumb by the door. Or that you will always have the best vacation house on the beach and everything work. It's kind of the anti of that, isn't it, a little bit? Paige and I are laughing today about something as simple as trying to get a sublease for our daughter to work with the University of North Texas. Just a simple, it's a simple form. You fill out a form. That's supposed to start a process. That process should get us money back. It never works. We filled out the email. She filled it out again. She made a call. The manager didn't call her back. She called again. The manager wouldn't call her back. She called again. She sent an email. Said, if you don't call me back, I'm going to talk to your regional manager. An email came back. And Paige is laughing and being like, why does it have to be so hard? But what the Lord is promising you is not ease and comfort. Sometimes he provides that. But what he is promising to give you by his presence is a steadfast love and mercy. A steadfast love that never goes away, and mercy. In all the phases of your life, in every situation of your life, if you have found your hope and your home in Jesus by faith, his attitude and his presence with you is steadfast love and mercy. And I was with a friend who was the campus minister at Wake Forest last week, and he was talking to me about one of his students who was from South Carolina, from Columbia. She was at church with Sinclair Ferguson back when he was the pastor there. And she developed cancer. And it was bad. And she was in the hospital and her sister was with her. She said Sinclair Ferguson came to make a pastoral visit to her. And he walked in the door. And as a sweet under-shepherd of Jesus, he looked at her in her condition. And in his Scottish brogue, the first words out of his mouth were, oh, my love, Jesus must love you so much. Because the Lord's presence with you is not shaming, is not angry, is not dismissive, is not abiding just simply because he has to. It is steadfast love for you. And mercy. The thing that keeps you together is that in your very best moment and your very worst moment, in the moment when you feel like you are closer to God than you've ever been, or in the moment where you see your sin most clearly, the presence of God with you is steadfast love through the finished work of Jesus and mercy. And that is sufficient. His presence is a sufficient, abundant presence. His presence is a presence that goes with you all the way into and through your death. His presence for you is steadfast love and kindness. And I'm not trying to throw spiritual platitudes around thoughtlessly. Please. I don't want to just sound like I'm saying, praise the Lord, everything's great. But the psalm is here to remind you and I, when we begin to forget, is it enough? Is his presence really enough? That the word of God, as the good shepherd kindly looks at you and says, the Lord is your shepherd. You don't want, beloved. That girl in the bed, when Sinclair Ferguson says that, it makes me wonder the way we pray. If we believe that the presence of God is enough, how do we pray? It makes me pray if steadfast love and mercy is the thing, and if his presence is really the journey song of the people of God, how do we pray for people when they are at their end? Let me be gentle. Is it okay for us as the people of God, or even if not, I would encourage you, if you're here and you're trying to figure out where you stand with Jesus, is it okay to pray that the Lord would heal people physically? Absolutely it is. Can God heal? Absolutely. But if it's true that the great sufficient gift that God gives to his people, the life and the food that he provides that is their hope and whole, is himself, then the thing I think we pray is this. When do we, when people are towards their end, I'm going to say it, you can talk to me afterward. When do we stop praying, Lord, heal? And when do we start praying like there's no tomorrow? Lord, be with her. Be with her. Be with him. But maybe it's before we get to that point that that should be our prayer. Not just at the hour of death. Maybe the beauty of this psalm is the thing that it draws us into. It's as the people of God kind of day in and day out to be the people who say, Jesus, be with me. Let that be enough. Jesus, peel my hands and my heart away from the things that I think will give me life and hope. Let your presence be enough. You're my shepherd, and with you I shall not want. And then David lands the plane by saying, his presence is actually the thing that leads us to home. Because the psalm ends by saying, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That for length of days without end, his people will dwell in his presence forever. That's the great hope, that it's witness. That our great home and our great end and our great destination is that we will dwell in the house of the Lord as his people, resurrected bodies and souls together with him. It is witness that makes all the difference. God is with us, that's sufficient. God is with us, that is life. God is with us, we have all we need and more. God is with us, and that is constant. God is with us, and love and mercy are ours all our days. God is with us through the life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And those who rest in him by faith have all they need and more and will be led home. This is our journey song. God is with us. I got about a mile and a half down 52. And I kind of lost track of where I was. I wasn't really familiar with that edge of 52. I was out of root beer candies. I only put one apple. I was out of water. My feet were hurting. And I sat down on the side of the road. And sure enough, here pulls up my mom and stepfather. And I jumped in the car. They drove me home. I went to bed early that night. And I won't forget it, because the last words my mom said to me as she leaned over and kissed me was this: "It's good to have you home, son." The Lord is our shepherd. He is with us. And God's people say, amen.